First reading is Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O Lord of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. The second reading is from Jeremiah chapter 18. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord. Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good I had intended to do it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. But they say, it is no use, we will follow our own plans and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil will.
The Gospel reading is from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning that my words might really be your words, that we might leave here encouraged on our path, on our journey of life with you. Amen. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveller, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how my way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. Now somewhere in the black hole where Tupperware and Gladware lids go to hide is a copy of a National Geographic magazine with the poems of Robert Frost. I purchased it in 1977 when I first began teaching English and history at Marlborough Boys. My then girlfriend and I were both Robert Frost fans, and we dreamed of travelling to New England for the fall, for the autumn, to Robert Frost country. Perhaps we might be able to do that when we finally retire. I first heard Robert Frost's The Road Not Taken when I was at high school, and it has struck me ever since. It's a poem that accurately describes life as a series of choices about which path to take as we make our way through a forest. And often the choices between the road most taken by most people and a road less frequently travelled by fewer people. A week or so ago on Facebook I saw this poem read by Hyacinth Bucket at a university graduation where she was speaking, giving the talk. The poem ends with the poet's choice that day, and I took the road less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. That's made all the difference. Now, last year, when my Year 9 class were looking at this poem, I happened to read a piece by Frost himself about that poem. He said that this poem is widely misunderstood. He had written it for a friend who was a procrastinator, who couldn't make up his mind and would dither and avoid making decisions. Don't we know those sorts of people? He was not saying that one path was better than another, but that it was good to make a journey to make progress to start on that journey. A journey, as we know, of 1,000 miles starts with the very first step. Now, in New Zealand's history, there are many famous trails and paths. The Maori had well-trodden paths over the Alps to collect punamu, or greenstone from the west coast, or pakoi, or argillite from the Rangitoto, Derville Island, part of the Whangamoa mineral belt. Pākehā too are familiar with trails, Arthur's Pass, the Haast Pass, the Tongariro Crossing. Yeah, paths are important to our culture, the culture of Aotearoa New Zealand. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but we are all very much on a path or a trail. At this very moment, you may be on the right path or a wrong path. When you walk into a cemetery, you see a headstone with somebody's name or an epitaph, a birth date or a date of death. But what often gets overlooked is that hyphen between the date of birth and the date of death. But it's that hyphen that represents an individual's entire life. We look at the dates, but the real story is the hyphen. And it's that hyphen that makes up our individual trail or our path. Now, this morning, instead of thinking about the fork in the road as a choice between good and bad, I want you to consider the alternative, an alternative, good and better. Jesus once said something similar. The image he used was not of two roads, but a gate through which sheep might pass through to get to the sheep pen for the protection of the night, and to go out to the pasture and graze during the day. And just as Robert Frost wrote about choosing road less travel, it makes all the difference. Jesus too said that passing through the gate makes all the difference. That gate, Jesus says, is the way to a good life. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 10, verse 10. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And in simple terms, really, the mission of the church is this. The purpose of our church is to help you live life to the fullest. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that this is the kind of church that is needed in the world. What the world needs is a church that is willing to take the road less travelled. Paraphrasing Matthew 7. Listen to what Jesus says. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate that is narrow that leads to life, and only a few find it. There is a narrow way, and only a few find it. It's the road less travelled. I think most of us would love to be in a church like that. Well, that's what the Christian church is intended to be. The church's job is to help people find happiness, meaning and purpose, to find life and to live it to the fullest. Our first inclination is to say that those who are Christians are on the right path and those who are non-Christians are on the wrong path. And we've probably all heard sermons on that theme. And this, of course, is true. And we read, as we've read in Matthew 7, that Jesus is the way and that the way or path leads to life. But this morning, I want to think in terms of the Christian and how it's still possible for a Christian to be on one of two paths. It's not a matter of being on the right path or the wrong path. It's a matter of being on a good path or a great path. Some of us in this room are on a good path and some of us are on a great path. Let's explain that. There's a path of life that Jesus mentions, as I said in Matthew 7, 14, which is narrow. And there's a path of life that David refers to in Psalm 16, where David says, you will make known to me the path of life. This is the path of restoration that was in our reading this morning from Psalm 80, verse 3. And in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they have life and may have it abundantly. Who is they? Well, based on an explanation of his illustration, they are his sheep, and Jesus is his shepherd. Now, who's his sheep? The answer is Christians. In other words, you and me. So when we read that Jesus came so that they might have life, we really read that Jesus came so that you, me, we may have life. What is this life? Well, many interpret this verse to mean eternal life, life after death, life in the hereafter. But I don't think this is what Jesus is really referring to. It could be, but I don't think so. You see, Jesus says that he came that we could all have life. And the word have in the original Greek means to hold, to possess, to cling to, and it's written in the present tense, which means that Jesus says he came that we may have life. And he's saying that we may hold, possess, cling to life right now, at the present time. In other words, the life we experience because he came is not something that we have to wait for or wait on. It's something that we can possess, and we do possess right now in Blenheim. But the truth is this: fullness doesn't mean health and longevity. Fullness means completeness. The life we experience because of Christ is an extraordinary life of completeness, of satisfaction, of fulfillment. Jesus tells his followers in John 10:9, "I am the gate, whoever enters it through me will be saved." And in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the gate, I am the road, and I am your traveling companion. I am with you always, is the promise that the one who sent us out on this mission will tell the world of God's love and his desire for discipleship and fellowship with one another. Now, many of you will remember the song by John Lennon, Imagine. In that song, Lennon invites us to imagine a world without all of the things that we fight about. Imagine a world where everyone was living in peace. It isn't hard to do, Lennon sings. And when we read the Gospels, we catch a glimpse of that world, just a small glimpse. Even in the Gospel, the world is not yet as it will be, but we do catch a glimpse of what life will be like when Jesus is in charge, when Jesus is king. And it's enough to have a glimpse to make us long for it. We all become dreamers, imagining that day when the kingdom of Jesus is finally here in all its glory. Now, a few years ago, I had the privilege of attending a funeral of a dear Christian friend and fellow teacher in Picton. And as I waited for the service to begin, the famous Joni Mitchell song, Both Sides Now, the 2000 version, look it up on YouTube, played. I love this contemplative version of the song, and I intend for it to play at my own funeral. I've looked at life from both sides now. I really don't know life at all. And as I look back on my life, the one thing I've learned is to be less judgmental. I'm not the judge on Judgment Day. Jesus is. The real question is, have I let the potter mold me to become more like him? I am the gate, Jesus said. Today I hope that you'll make Jesus the gateway of your life, and that we'll make Jesus the gateway of this, our church. Because when we place Jesus and his teachings at the centre of our faith, we will help people find life. What do you think Jesus is calling us, you and me, to do right now in this place and time. I'm the gate for the sheep, Jesus said. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And as Robert Frost wrote, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. Which road are you on? Which road are you on? The good road or the great road? Amen.